What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode, episode 59 of the All In Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Eli Cooper, and once again joined by my guy, Mike Badzik. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Good to see you, my friend. It's been a long time, like a whole week since we've done an episode.
Yes.
But this is a good one to do. We're very excited. NBA coming back. We get a chance to talk about it.
Yes, yes. NBA coming back. So, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you can already see him on your screen. But if you're listening on audio, we brought back the man, the myth, the legend, Todd, a.k.a. Toadman Jr. is in the building to help us with our NBA season preview episode. How's it going, man?
It's going great, man. Greetings from Margaritaville.
Thank you for joining us again today, Todd.
Drunk we Todd, have on.
So much to cover today with the NBA returning. Preseason basketball is already underway. Tuesday, the games get kicked off. We're recording this on a Friday night. So let's get right into it, man. Who's some of our preseason standouts, like players or teams that have looked really good to you guys so far?
Oh, I want to go first because I know Todd is going to say something mean about this guy. But the guy I've enjoyed watching the most and I've probably missed the most is Steph.
Yeah.
He's looked great. He's looked amazing. He looks like Steph of old, you know, adding some cornrows and he's back. You know, it's going to be a little bit tougher for him this year without Clay to do all of the Steph things that we're used to. Yeah. But I've been very impressed. I think the team they have around him, I don't know. You know, we'll get into talking about them and how many games we think they're going to win. It's going to be maybe some tough sledding with the guys they have. But just watching that team, I actually like the way some of those pieces fit. I like the way Andrew Wiggins can play off of him. And James Wiseman is a possible coming back. And Marquise Chris actually is a really good big man pairing. His skill set fits well next to a guy like Steph Curry. So I'm actually expecting a big season from Steph Curry. And watching him in the preseason kind of confirmed that for me. He doesn't look like that he's lost a step at all.
Yeah, Curry has looked great. You know, and I'm a little bullish on the Warriors. I think Kelly Oubre was a big pickup for them. He had a very good season last year in Phoenix, you know, averaged about 17 points per game. And I think if he can give them similar production, we know Andrew Wiggins is capable of scoring, you know, anywhere from 18 to 20 as well. I think they'll have enough offense, right? If you can get Steph Curry to be, you know, elite Steph Curry. And then whatever you get from Wiseman offensively is you know, a bonus as well. So, you know, I do like them. I don't love them. I think they're, you know, certainly a playoff team in the West, probably top. I think they could sneak into that, like, fourth or fifth seed.
Certainly.
Maybe in that range. But, you know.
We'll get into the playoffs later. But, yeah, certainly, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I don't know. Shout out my guy, Kyle Guy, getting that game winner the other night. Gotta love the preseason action.
Yeah, but Kyle Guy's not gonna play.
No.
Okay, Todd, what have you been watching any preseason action? And if you have, who's been standing out?
Absolutely. I got three letters for you.
Okay.
THT. All right. Ooh. My man, Talen Horton Tucker. I think. Listen, if this guy, 20 years old, if this guy can give the Lakers some production, I mean, anything, I think that, I mean, obviously they're already heavy favorites, but if they get an added bonus with this guy, I think that they're going to be absolutely scary, maybe dominant this year.
Yeah, but is he actually going to get minutes, though? Or, I know he's looked good in the preseason, and he's young, right? I think the running joke with him was that he looks a lot older than what he is.
He really does.
But, like, whose minutes is he a Kyle Kuzma? Now I actually probably like Kyle Kuzma. I think that the pendulum has maybe swung too far on him, where we thought maybe he was going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Found out he's not going to be very great. And then there was maybe too much hype. And then now we've kind of swung all the way around where, like, now Kyle Kuzma sucks.
Yeah. One added thing to that too, is I think we're going to see a lot more minutes from THT. I think it'll be interesting. I agree that I think it'll be a battle. Obviously, I still like Kuzma a lot, and then, you know, THT hasn't proven anything. But I will say LeBron probably not going to play a lot. You know what I mean? I think LeBron's going to be big minutes. I think THT can kind of get a lot of those minutes too. I think we'll see him a lot more early in the season. And honestly, I think that's why I said it, just because he's going to have a chance. If he really shows out, and he gets some more tick in the early in the season, we might see a lot more of him than we think.
Yeah, and I like his game. I mean, I think he brings something probably on the defensive end too that Kuzma just cannot.
Yeah.
The other team that I was watching was the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Porter Jr., like, he's pulling up from deep.
Yeah.
He can shoot from pretty much anywhere, and we'll talk about the Nuggets. So let's just – we won't talk so much about the Nuggets and how many games you're thinking to win right now, but do we like Michael Porter Jr. as someone who we're saying, okay, they have Jamal Murray, they have Jokic. Is Michael Porter Jr. a third guy on a team that we could actually see making the finals?
In an ideal world, yes. I don't know. The postseason comments – I think maybe he won't be happy being that third banana. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think he fits perfectly. I really do like the fit there. I just don't know that maybe personality-wise, I think that it'll be tough. I think, like I said, ideally they would work perfectly together, but we'll see if the season goes along. If we had a rough patch, we might hear a lot more from Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, about QAnon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I like Michael Porter Jr., and I agree with Todd. I think he's a good fit. I think his biggest problem, at least last year, was his minutes were a little inconsistent because of his defensive effort. You know, Mike Malone was kind of, as a young player, trying to bring him along defensively, and he struggled. So, you know, I think that's his biggest thing, is consistency on the offensive end, for one, and then his effort, at least defensively, has to be there. And for someone with his size and length and, you know, has pretty decent quickness, he shouldn't be as bad as he is on the defensive end. I mean, there were times where teams were literally targeting him to, you know, try to get guys open and attack him on the defensive end of the floor. And if that's the case, if you're that much of a liability, then he's not nearly good enough offensively yet to be on the floor in that case where they try to hide you. So he's got to be able to compete on the defensive end for him to be a factor.
And one thing I just want to add to that is, too, I think that, you know, Mike Malone was really hesitant to give him minutes. I think, you know, he went a long stretch of the year without playing a lot. So I just think that that's a feel thing. So I think he could be at least a, you know, replacement level defender, as long as I think he'll get better over the year. You know, I think he'll get a lot more tick this year, and hopefully we'll see if he can kind of, you know, improve defensively.
Agreed.
One team I want to shout out to preseason, the Houston Rockets, my man Boogie. John Wall looking healthy.
I love looking that scary. Combo.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kentucky deal has looked good so far. It's good to see both of them fully healthy. Like, we have not seen them fully healthy for about 2 years. Definitely for John Wall and even for Boogie. He was in and out of Golden State that year. So it's good to see him finally fully healthy again.
Looking fine.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, some preseason standouts for you guys there. Let's get into our NBA season preview. We are going to start with our early season award predictions. So we'll save MVP. Let's start with something simple. Who's going to win, Roy? Rookie of the Year. It's a pretty limited race, I would say. But
yes,
who's your favorites to win Rookie of the Year?
You want to go, Todd? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take it. So I think my favorite right now, and this could be some early season hype or early, you know, preseason hype, but I don't know, man. LaMelo Ball, he's going to play a lot of minutes. He's going to have the ball a lot. He's going to have the ball a lot in his hands. He's going to make some plays that we're not going to forget. And I think that just his overall story, his following, I think that, you know, right now, I think he should be the clear favorite. But could I add in my guy? So Bull Bull is eligible.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm still going with LaMelo, but I thought Bull Bull, I think maybe, you know, he could be an interesting player too.
Do you think he's going to get enough minutes this year?
I was wondering about that.
That's tough. It is. I think he's capable of playing his way onto the floor, but I think at the end of the day, just, you know, the Nuggets, you're right, a limited minute count. I think he'll be fun. He could be valuable, but yeah, I can't see him kind of getting that narrative, whatever it is, you know, the kind of the following to kind of get that Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so I thought about LaMelo Ball just from a minute perspective, and like, they're probably going to ask him to do a lot more than other rookies are going to be asked to do, and also like the attention is going to be on him, so it's going to be a story everything he does.
Yep.
I actually went with Obi Toppin here.
Okay.
Wow.
I think, you know, when you look at rookie of the year, and if you're asking me who I think is going to be the best player in this draft class, it's not Obi Toppin, but just from a finished product, what is he going to do right now in his first year? You know, he's an older guy.
Old man.
I actually think he does fit almost kind of well with the Knicks. I know they have a ton of power forwards, but he's actually probably the best one besides maybe Julius Randle right now. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have a lot of opportunity. They're going to focal point him. I don't know if they're in win now mode. They're probably not. So I'd imagine he's going to be getting a lot of minutes and probably the ball a lot, you know, and he really is good. Actually, I mean, from a scoring perspective, which a lot of times this comes down to scoring for rookie of the year, he can score pretty much three levels. He can shoot the three and, you know, he's a pick and roll guy, a pick and pop guy in some instances and super athletic. So I think he's probably, you know, I don't see him. I see him averaging like, I don't know, 13 to 19 points, right? 19 maybe being the high end. And that might be good enough for rookie of the year in a class like this that there's not really a standout superstar.
Yeah. Going to catch some bodies.
Yeah, he's going to catch some bodies.
That's an interesting pick, I will say. I'm going to go with the number one pick in the draft, Anthony Edwards. How have we not talked about this guy yet? Listen, they're a team that's going to struggle for offense outside of D'Lo and Cat. Right. Mm-hmm. These are the only two guys other and Malik Beasley solid. But I think Anthony Edwards is going to be the clear third option in this offense. And I think he's the most ready scorer in this class, which is probably why he went number one. He looked pretty good the other night in his preseason game, knocked down a couple threes. You know, he looks like he fits. So I think he's going to get enough volume. He's going to play enough minutes. And he's also the number one pick. So I think he'll get enough attention. I agree that. You know, the circus is going to be around LaMelo Ball naturally, but he is also the number one pick. He'll get enough looks, especially if, you know, the T-Wolves are at least competitive, you know. So I think Anthony Edwards in his rookie year can give you about 18 to 20 a game, possibly if he gets enough volume. Maybe at lowest he's at least 15. That might just be enough for him to win it because we don't necessarily know that LaMelo is going to score enough. I think that's the biggest question mark about him. His preseason debut, he had a donut, 0 for 5, 10 boards, 4 assists. But, like, you know, the Rookie of the Year award a lot of times is about the scoring aspect. So we'll see if he can put up enough points. I think Anthony Edwards can and will. So I'm going to pick him to win it this year. So let's move on to our next award, sixth man.
Yeah.
Who you guys got taking the sixth man award here this year?
I went with Marcus Smart, and I think he's not going to start. I like Marcus Smart from obviously we know what he is on defense, right? He's going to go and guard the best player on their team for the most part. But also, like, he actually is used more on offense than people realize, I think, just from a usage perspective. Like, he really was the – fourth option on that team last year, and that's going to expand even more with no Gordon Hayward this year. So he's probably going to up his points. You know, he's kind of like the leader of that team from a bench guy perspective. And I think the Celtics are going to be pretty good. And when you talk about other bench guys who are the usual suspects, it's going to be tough for Harrell and the Lakers with the big guys that they have. Lou Will is 45 years old or older. Yeah. So I think it's going to be tough for some of those guys. And I think Schroeder's probably Schroeder has a chance if they don't start him at point guard, which they might. So I will go with Marcus Smart for sixth man.
Yeah, that's where my mind went too. So I think the Schroeder thing, I'm leaning toward – he's come out and said he wants to be the starter. I'm leaning towards he's probably going to be the starter. If he's not, he'd be my first pick. But what I'm going to go with is Nilo. I think Nilo in Atlanta.
I like that pick.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're going to have Clint and Collins, I'm thinking, are going to get the starting jobs. And I think that he's going to come in, put up a lot of shots. And him and Trae Young could be dangerous. I think, you know, kicking out to Trae, I think he could have a lot of, you know, spacing out threes, knock him down. Bogdanovich, the floor is going to be super spaced. And we'll see. But, yeah, my pick's Nilo.
Yep.
So I like the Danilo Gallinari pick. My pick for sixth man is Spencer Dinwiddie out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's going to come off the bench behind Kyrie and Caris LeVert will probably be their starting backcourt. But Spencer Dinwiddie, assuming that Kyrie is healthy, I think he's going to play a lot of minutes. I really like his game. He's an excellent shot creator. And I think he's going to get a lot of touches. He might even be their third or fourth leading scorer, depending on what they get out of Caris LeVert this year. So, you know, I think he'll get enough volume off of the bench to possibly win the award. Plus, he'll get the assist numbers as well.
Yeah, I like it too. And they're going to be a good team. So,
yeah,
usually a good team gets that.
Right. Defensive player of the year. Who we got for defensive player of the year this year?
AD. AD should have won it last year. I think he's going to win it this year. I think hands down the best defensive player in basketball. Most versatile. I think this is his year. I think that it's still I know we're not getting to MVP yet, but I think he's going to be inching that. I think this is the year that he is just dominant start to finish, and I think that they're going to just kind of, you know, throw the defensive player of the year at him.
I think Giannis gets it again. His impact.
Three times in a row.
Yeah, it's just that, like, when you look at the – and I know that there's a lot more to it than this. Yeah. But when you line up the numbers, the defensive stats and the defensive analytics, he's, like, head and shoulders above everyone else. So I think, you know, maybe there's some fatigue there. And we say, well, you know, lost in the playoffs and it doesn't translate. I think that is going to hurt him more in the MVP candidates, right? So if he has the same season as last year, I think he doesn't get the MVP this year, but he might still get the defensive player of the year, and I think he does. And you know, maybe not. Maybe having Jrue Holiday takes some of the pressure off him defensively, and he doesn't quite have to put up the same statistics. But because of what he did last year, I'm inclined to pick him again.
Can I pose a question real quick, though? Is this the year that we see kind of like the Giannis, the hate? Do you think the haters come out this year? Is this the year that...
I think for MVP, yeah. And we're talking about MVP. I think for MVP, that is almost definite. I don't think there's any way he wins MVP this year. So seeing what happened in the playoffs last year, and we're talking about MVP, so I don't want to give it away. But
yeah,
a defensive player of the year, I think people will still look at it and be like, well, he's still the best defensive player, even if he's not the most valuable player.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Interesting. I'm going to agree with Todd. I think it's about time Anthony Davis gets the Defensive Player of the Year award. Yeah. Like, if we really think about it, this is going to be, what, his ninth or tenth year in the league? Mm-hmm. I think something like that. And Anthony Davis doesn't have one Defensive Player of the Year award. And that's, like, arguably where, over his career, regardless of health, he's been his most impactful. Yes. Not one Defensive Player of the Year award. It's somehow, some way, it goes somewhere else. I think this is the year, and I think there were enough complaints last year about him not getting it. I think a lot of times we see, like, oh, well, how come so-and-so isn't winning this award? And then we finally see them get it, kind of like James Harden with MVP, right? Mm-hmm. Like he felt he got snubbed for it a few years in a row, then they finally gave it to him. So I think Anthony Davis is going to get the MVP award this year. Plus, I think he's going to be required to do a little bit more with no, you know, JaVale and Dwight. Even though, you know, they do have Marc Gasol, there's going to be times where when Harrell's on the court where he's going to have to be that anchor. And I think it'll be a little more noticeable, his impact on the defensive end this year.
Yeah. I think he has some momentum coming off the finals, just how dominant he was. I think that he kind of, you know, I think he just kind of has that momentum in the fan base is going.
Agreed. So of every player in the NBA, who takes the biggest leap this year and gets that most improved?
This was a tough one, and I was kind of looking through the 2018 draft class, because I think that's the most likely draft class for a guy to take a leap, right?
Yep.
And two guys I really liked were Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson Jr., both taking leaps this year. Bagley was averaging 15 last year. You know, this is his third year. For a 19-year-old skinny kid coming into the league, usually that third year is the one where they start to put on some muscle. He looked that way in the preseason. I think he's got fantastic footwork, and him and D-Fox could be a really good pair there. I also like Triple J, but he averaged 18 last year, so it's, I don't know how much more he goes up. Just going from a sheer math perspective here, I'm going to take Michael Porter Jr. Because he only averaged 9 last year.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's probably going to average at least 15 this year, just being a starter and getting starter minutes. He's going to score. You know, he's a scorer. You know, we can talk about him on the defensive end, but he's going to get his buckets, assuming that they leave him in the game. I think that they will commit to leaving him in the game, at least in the regular season, to help him grow. So I think from a math perspective, I think I have to go with Michael Porter Jr.
I like that pick.
Yeah. So my pick is also from that same draft class. I'm going to go with DeAndre Ayton. I think that Suns getting more TV games this year. I think that him and Chris Paul are going to be absolutely deadly. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're going to see that kind of reverse swing. So I think we were all with, you know, the Luka trades. We kind of got that swing of DeAndre's a bust or whatever it is, at least down on DeAndre. And I think last year he showed a lot of promise. And I think this year could kind of be that year that people are kind of swinging back the other way, that he's not as bad as we thought he was. He's actually really good. And I think, you know, I just think the Chris Paul piece of it can't be overstated. I think that Chris Paul is going to really unlock him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's huge. Getting Chris Paul is huge for him.
Yeah, yeah, it is. If and mostly because, you know, obviously he's going to be in a ton of pick and rolls with him and Devin Booker, but mostly with Chris Paul. And I really like that pick because towards the end of the season, we kind of saw him add the three ball into his arsenal on that pick and pop. You get that going with Chris Paul, he could definitely see, you know, if that's a part of his game that he really feels comfortable doing this year, that could definitely be a big improvement for him. I actually think, you know, just from looking at the Suns with the addition of Chris Paul, he's going to see the biggest benefit. Like, you'll see Devin Booker's efficiency go up, right? But his numbers, like, probably slightly drop, but his efficiency goes up. You'll see DeAndre Ayton, I think, this year, his numbers go up, his efficiency goes up with Chris Paul being on his team. So I love that pick by you, Todd. However, my most improved player this year is a bit of a homer pick. I'm going with Seth Curry. Seth Curry's winning most improved player this year. The Sixers made a draft day deal to bring him in, and it looks like he's going to start at the two. And if I look at the Sixers build right now, he's probably going to be our third leading scorer. We're going to play through Embiid. You know, Ben Simmons is going to give you anywhere from 15 to 16 a game, since he doesn't really shoot the ball much. We're going to need someone like Steph Curry to create offense. And the way that they've utilized him is not just as a spot-up shooter or someone to run off, like, pin downs. They're using him in pick-and-roll situations. Like, they're getting the ball into his hands. You know, I think if he's someone who can give us 15 to 17 a game, I think that puts him in the race for most improved player. And the Curry name doesn't hurt. You know, no. So it carries some weight.
And it also doesn't hurt that the coach might have a vetted interest in making him look good, right?
Why would you say such a thing?
Well, I'm just saying there's a chance that he could be. Let's call a couple players for Seth.
Daughter's been in his ear a little bit. Call a couple plays for Seth.
Yeah, take care.
All right, let's get to the one that everybody cares about.
Yeah.
MVP. Who is our early MVP prediction for this year? Todd, why don't you go first?
I just can't. I don't know. I'm going to take the super obvious one, and I'm really interested to see what you guys say. But I think – I don't know. I think this is the year of Luka, right? I don't know. I can't see the momentum that he just built. I mean, he is amazing. I think that Josh Richardson beside him, I do think that Josh Richardson is going to have a, you know, a lot better year than he had last year. I think this is his perfect fit, just true 3-and-D. They're not asking him to do too much.
Yeah.
And also, I think the KB factor of, I don't know if KP stays, you know, if KP's in there, I think Luka looks great. If KP goes out, Luka's going to be great. Like, Luka's going to have the ball. He's going to do a lot more. And we'll see. So I just think that, you know, this is painfully obvious, but I think Luka's going to get it. I think he's going to take the league by storm.
I do think that there is a conspiracy that it's already pre-decided that Luka is going to win.
Yeah.
I think that is something that is happening. Where people have just decided it's not going to be Giannis because he won it last year and he lost in the playoffs. So it's going to be Luka's year to win. Something is happening there that's a little bit weird to me. But my thing with Luka, and we've talked about this, Todd, is we're talking about the win over unders, but I don't think that they're going to be a top 3 seed in the West. I don't think they're going to be a top 4 seed in the West, really. Some people might think that they're going to be that high. I still think that you need to be at least the 3 seed to win the MVP. I know Russ kind of broke that mold, but I thought that we had kind of said we don't like that when that happens, and we kind of have now kind of retroactively revoked that and said that was a bad idea. We shouldn't have given it to him because his team lost in the first round. We understand the stats. I'm personally, you know, and Luka is amazing, of course. You guys both know me, and I'm the same way when I talk about James Harden. I don't like the high usage, put up a bunch of stats. That's not my style of play. I don't prefer that. But if we're just talking about, you know, who is going to win, and we're not saying should win, and we're not saying, you know, yeah, he's got the best odds. He's got the best odds. So maybe it is a good pick. I actually went kind of, I went with a name that I actually have not heard being mentioned so far, and that is Kawhi. And the reason I picked Kawhi is I think he's going to be on a mission this year. I think the playoff loss was embarrassing for Kawhi, and he is the type of guy that internalizes things. We're not seeing him out in the media, you know, talking shit about Paul George and stuff. But I think on the court, he might take over just a step more. You know, he averaged 27 last year. If he bumps that up to 29, and he locks in on defense, which I think he's more likely to lock in on defense with this 72-game season, you know, he's going to be the best wing defender in the league, maybe only second to Ben Simmons, and averaging 29 a game. If the Clippers get the number one seed, which I think is a real possibility, it's hard for him not to win MVP or at least be in the discussion. I actually went with Kawhi here.
Just real quick, I want to say, I just think that the condensed season, a dude that averages 29 but can't play in back-to-backs, I think he's going to sit a lot of games. I think it's going to be the same discussion that he had this year, right? So he had fantastic numbers. I just think that maybe those game totals are too low, and that might just be enough to kind of tweak it.
Yeah, and I don't know that he puts up enough, like, rebound and assist numbers as well that, like, jump off the charts that make people want to go vote for him. And yeah, I don't think they're going to – he's not the kind of person who cares about being the number one seed either. So he's not really going to have that going for him, best player on, you know, on the best team. So I don't know. It could happen, but yeah, like Todd said, he sits out too many games.
Well, they're not going to be lower than – I mean, they're the two seed at worst, right? Maybe the three seed at worst. Three seed probably at worst.
It's a good
And my theory is that he's going to lock in this year because of what happened last year.
Yeah, maybe Ty Lue doesn't let him run the practice schedule either. So, like,
still living in San Diego, though.
Like he reportedly was. Yeah. We'll see. But I don't know. This is a tough one because I don't think Giannis is going to win it. I think there's not only voter fatigue, but again, what happened in the playoffs, you know, there's that narrative matters, right?
Yes.
So even though they're probably going to be the best team in the East again, and he's going to have ridiculous numbers again. I just don't see, you know, I don't see him winning it three times in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can give it to Anthony Davis or LeBron out in LA because I think those two kind of cancel each other out. Like it's one of those cases where they're two top five players in the league and people don't really want to give either of them the award. So I don't know that I can really go there.
And LeBron is right now the consensus best player in the league.
Right. Yes, he is, right? So he already has voter fatigue because he's won this award four times already. So,
and if Anthony Davis gets it, and he also maybe possibly gets the defensive player of the year like you both have picked, well, he's definitely the best player in the league then. It's not
LeBron, right? Right. That dispels that narrative. So I don't know. You know, I like KD coming off the Achilles injury. There's a lot of question marks there, but I think the Nets are going to be really good. And obviously Kevin Durant's really good. I just don't know if he's going to be pre-injury Kevin Durant. An Achilles injury at 30 is hard.
But he's going to play less than Kawhi.
Right, probably not going to be on a minutes restriction.
Yeah.
I like Luka, but I don't know that he gets a high enough seed. So I'm going to go with Steph Curry. I'm taking Steph Curry to win MVP this year.
I love it.
Steph Curry winning the MVP award this year. Mark it, record this episode.
I love it.
Listen, if you're watching on whatever device you're watching on, record this, send it to me all year long. I don't care. Steph Curry with the Warrior, with Klay Thompson down, everybody expecting the Warriors to either miss the playoffs or barely make the playoffs. They're going to be a top five seed, and Steph Curry's going to average 30 and win MVP. You heard it here first on the All In podcast. 30. He's going to average 30 and win MVP this year.
I think he had more leaders than me, man.
So I like Steph Curry a lot. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Todd vehemently hates him. Maybe we should save this for the win over unders. Well, let's just talk about it now. You know, we're transitioning to win over unders, right, Eli?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
All right,
yes.
Can we start with the Warriors?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's go with the Warriors.
Let's start with the Warriors. So I'll ask both of you. Well, I know Coop's answer. I'll ask Todd. Is it more likely? Mm-hmm. for the Warriors to make the Western Conference Finals, not the finals, the Western Conference Finals, yeah, or miss the playoffs?
Miss the playoffs, easy.
I actually agree that it's more likely that they miss the playoffs.
Well, then yeah. I think it's tough to give him MVP, right?
Yeah, but if they do get the top five seed, he's winning MVP. So, like, I think he's going to have to do a lot for them to get that. So that's what I'm banking on here. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't do a lot, then they're probably going to miss. Then they could miss the playoffs. But yeah, even if he gets them into a top five seed, there's no guarantee that they get out of the. I mean, there's no way that they get out of the second round at best because they're seeing LA and they have nothing for Anthony Davis or LeBron.
Well, they're going to need to be a higher seed than the Mavs because Luka is going to put up
crazy ridiculous numbers,
better numbers than him, right? And if we're saying it's not going to be a guy on a 1-2 seed, which I don't think you would go as high as say that they're going to be a 1-2 seed, he's going to have to put up crazy numbers. And so he's going to have to be higher than the Mavs. What's the win? What's the total at? What's the number at?
The over-under on them is 38.5.
Okay, and this is a 72-game season.
72-game season. So you're looking at like 39-33 if you're taking the over. And I actually have a $10 standing bet that they win 39 games this year. So I'm taking the over.
And I'm taking the under.
I think if he gets them the 40, that's probably a top five seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
MVP worthy right there, if you ask me.
I think they go under. I don't think Steph Curry plays the whole year either, unfortunately. Even if he does, I think they're closer to a 500 team. They just don't have that many guys around him, unfortunately, yet. I think maybe they regroup for one more year. Maybe they regroup for one more year and try to get another really good asset to pair with James Wiseman and really try to go after it when Klay comes back. But I think they're under 38.
Yeah, spoiler alert, I don't have them in the playoffs. So
We'll talk about it.
We're transitioning in there. With the caveat that I don't know what's going on with James Harden. So I like the Rockets more than them right now. But again, if the Rockets move Harden, I think that they can probably slip into the playoffs.
Ooh. So
I see.
I'm not 100% sure that they'll make it with him, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay. All right. So as we get into these over-unders, so these numbers that we're pulling here are coming straight from MyBookie. And as a reminder, you guys can get 100% of your initial deposit matched anywhere from $45 to $1,000 on your first deposit at MyBookie.ag. If you use the promo code ALLINPOD, as you can see it there on your screen if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on audio, make sure you go over to MyBookieAG, use the promo code ALLINPOD so they know we sent you, and get the 100% deposit match. Listen, right now, we just talked about the Warriors. We're sitting at 38.5. The over is plus 106. I like those odds. I'm going to take them.
I like plus 106 for the over.
Agreed.
I still think they go under, though.
All right, so we're going to go through every NBA team, all 32 teams. We're going to give you their over and unders. We're going to make those picks. Some of them we'll discuss. Some of them are not worthy of our time.
Yep.
So let's start at the very top. And a team that I'm actually interested in, I think this is a good one to talk about. The Atlanta Hawks had some great offseason predictions. We talked about Danilo Gallinari. We talked slightly about Bogg, who they signed in the offseason as well. The Trae Young obviously had a great second season, and we look to build on that. They got some young talent with Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, and a nice young core. Their over and under is set at 34.5. Todd, you taking the over or the under on that number?
Wow, I think 34.5 is a great line. I think I'm going to take the under on that, but just very narrowly. I think they hover right around that 34-33 wins.
Yeah, so the Hawks, we all think are going to be an improved team this year, right? So 35 would be 35-37, so right below 500, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah.
I'm going to have to. This is going to take a bunch of math all day with this 72 game season.
Yeah.
So 35 wins. I think they go over. I do really like the pieces they've added. I like the guy that they drafted too, and Onyeka Okongwu. I had him, if you guys remember our mock draft, he was my number three guy. DeAndre Hunter is going to be a more prominent role this year. So I think, yes. Actually, I think if the big concern with them is defense, mm-hmm. Those two guys, as well as Cam Reddish, I think they can make up for some of that defense. And we're talking about regular season here, so nobody's playing defense anyway for the most part. Yeah. I'm going to take the over just barely.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well. I think they're going to be an offensive juggernaut this year in the East, a conference that isn't really well known for its defense in the first place. Mm-hmm. You got a guy like Trey who's already going to put up ridiculous numbers, and now he has better shooting around him, you know, than he did even before. So, you know, just the pace that they're going to play at, the amount of threes they're going to take is going to be ridiculous. And they have guys who will make those threes. I think they're a playoff team. So, yeah, I'm going to take the over. I think they're probably going to be at like 37. I think that's probably where I think they'll be just over 500 just on their offense alone.
Okay.
Let's go with Boston Celtics. Team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. No more Gordon Hayward. But had a solid draft and some good free agent signings like Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson, and some other guys that they brought in. Their number set at 44.5. So remember, we're in a 72 game season. 45 and what, 37 would be the over there. 45 and 27.
I'm going over for the Celtics. I think they're a 48 to 49 win team. That's what they were last year in the 72 games they played. They won 48 of them. I don't think they got worse. Depending on Kemba's health, I think they're going to get better. And Tatum probably takes a step forward. Maybe Brown maybe takes an extra step too. Yeah. And as far as, you know, now I think the East is going to be a little bit tougher for them schedule-wise.
Yeah.
So maybe they drop a couple more, but I actually like the over there.
I'm saying I love the over here. I'm higher on Hayward and his role with the Celtics last year more than some, but I just think that Tatum and Brown both take another step. I'm super high on Tatum. Yes. And, you know, I just think that I think they get over that. I think the East is definitely tough, but I just love that combo. You know, Brown and Tatum, and even, yeah, Kemba's health. We'll see. He's not going to play. You know, I think they said January. He'll be coming in a little later, but I do. I'm high on the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm high on the Celtics. I think their biggest issue was the center position. I think they addressed that with Tristan Thompson.
For sure.
And I like Tice. Like, I don't think he's bad, but I think they needed, an upgrade there. I also like Robert Williams. I like the energy he brings off the bench. I got a chance to watch them when they played my Sixers the other night. I like his game. Rim runner, very athletic defensively. I agree. Jason Tatum's a stud. I think he could possibly be in the MVP discussion, maybe, right? If he can get them into a top two, you know, maybe even the number one seed, I think we might have to start talking about Jason Tatum, you know, in that discussion. And I also love Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's one of my favorite players to watch just because of how good he is on both ends of the floor as well. Mm-hmm. Healthy Kemba. I like the over here as well. I'm high on the Celtics, which is really tough to say as a Sixers fan. So
you're high on everybody so far.
Yes, I am. So far, but there's trust me, that'll change. The hate is coming. Don't worry. Brooklyn Nets, healthy KD, healthy Kyrie. They added Landry Shamet. Yeah, healthy, right? Landry Shamet was a solid addition, I thought, in the offseason trade that they got. What are we thinking? 45.5 wins for Brooklyn.
I'm under on that one.
Yeah.
45, that's a lot for a team that I don't think that these guys are going to play that much. KD from not only a minute restriction, but also from a game restriction. I'm thinking he's probably going to be sitting a fair amount of games. Kyrie is a crazy person. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many wins or losses we assign just to that fact alone.
How dare you? You pawn.
I know. I'm a pawn. But
we are pawns.
We are pawns. So I'm going to go with the under. I think that's a lot of games. Like, in comparison, the Heat won about that many games last year, and they're 70. They played 73. They won 44 of them.
Yeah.
No, I think the Nets are, you know, come playoff time, they're going to be the toughest out in the East probably, just because of those two guys. But regular season, it's kind of like I'm not sure how serious they're going to take it, so I'll go under.
Yeah, I'm under. Just like I can't stress under enough. I just don't see this working out. I mean, I think they looked great in preseason. I think, you know, I think Kyrie and KD especially both looked really good in preseason. I just don't know the chemistry. Steve Nash, first year coach. I think this is a bomb waiting to detonate, and I'm excited to see the fireworks.
I hope it detonates.
Yeah. I'm going to take the under here. I'm going to make it a consensus. We don't know that. I think Kyrie might not play 45 games this year. So to give them 45 wins is a stretch. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if we see KD end up playing more games than Kyrie, just because he's had so many nagging injuries, right? Like, he hasn't had an Achilles or anything like ridiculous like that, but he always has some kind of injury, you know, that has him miss 20 or so games. So I'm taking the under there as well. But like Mike said, I'm more concerned about what they're going to do in the playoffs anyway, more than I am worried about how many games they're going to win in the regular season. And I think they have the same approach. Charlotte Hornets set at 26.5 for this year. So about 10 games under 500 in that case. What are we thinking about 26.5 for Charlotte?
I'm going to take the under on that just because, I don't know, this is an interesting year. And I do think the East, honestly, is, you know, it's interesting. I like the Wizards more than them. And honestly, I like the Magic more than them. I just think that it's a tough year. I think they're going to get beat up. And like you said, like I picked LaMelo for Rookie of the Year. But I think there's going to be some, you know, rookie moments, you know, just a rude awakening. And I just don't love the fit of that team, really. And Gordon, too. We'll see how Gordon, if he's able to, I don't know, at least look something like his former self. But, yeah, I'm going to take the under.
I'm going under as well. So me and Todd can just – you don't even have to ask me anymore. Just ask Todd for my pick. So we're going to say, well, I got the under. I don't like the fit. And if they're asking Gordon Hayward to be this guy
– their best player.
Who's their best player. That sounds like a team who's going to be at least 10 games under 500.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I'm going to make it a consensus again. They're definitely going under. You know, you got three point guards essentially with Graham, Rozier, and LaMelo Ball. I don't even know how they're going to make that work. Gordon Hayward's your best player. That's never great, especially at this phase of his career. You know, it's weird because the Hornets have a lot of guys that like I like as far as like role players, but they have no guys that I have like any confidence in for a team with Gordon Hayward as their best player. So yeah, I'm taking the under there.
Well, I think if they centered everything around PJ Washington and Miles Bridges, I'd be a lot more in on their futures than I am. But they don't want to do that. But sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
I played against PJ. Shout out PJ.
Yeah, you did.
Chicago Bulls, 28.5. How are we feeling about the Bulls this year?
Go ahead, Mike.
Under. I just don't see it. I don't think these guys are good. I don't, you know, is Zach LaVine the guy here? Is he the best player who's going to score 26 a game? I think he kind of sucks. Maybe he's good for he's a good stat guy, right? He's one of those, you know, he's Trae Young last year. So I'm under on them.
I'm sorry. What was that number one more time? What did you have in that?
28.5.
28.5. Yeah, sorry. Taking the under again. Like I said, I mean, I just shouted out Wizards and Magic. I think they're going to be around the Hornets level. I just don't think – I don't know. I just don't like that team. They have the talent. Again, if you strip them, they are not more than the sum of their parts. Like, they really do have talented players, but there is a black cat running around Chicago. I don't know. Yeah, I can't see them getting over that.
I'm going to take the over. I like the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. I think Coby White had a good rookie season given his head coach. For some reason, wouldn't start him until he averaged 30, you know, or like 25 a game. He wasn't able to start over whoever it was that was in front of him. But I think Coby White takes a step forward. They got a new coach, Billy Donovan, who, as we know, is going to stress more defense. Mm-hmm. I really like the fit with Patrick Williams, who they took at number four. I think they needed a wing who could defend You know, I don't love Otto Porter Jr., but I do like Patrick Williams. Markkanen's going to have to take a step forward, though, for them to hit that number, in my opinion. I think he's got to be more consistent offensively than what he was last year. I was expecting more of a breakout, not a huge breakout year for him, but I was expecting for him to take a step forward. I don't think we saw that. But I also like Wendell Carter Jr. I think he takes a step forward this year. I like Zach LaVine, especially offensively. Obviously, he has his deficiencies on the defensive end. But I think with guys like Patrick Williams and Wendell Carter Jr. and Coby White, I think they'll have enough guys where they can kind of hide him on the defensive end of the ball. I'm going to take the over, but like 29 or 30 maybe for the Bulls.
And you're really high on Coby White, right?
Yes.
And where did he go to school?
I love Coby White too.
Where did Coby White go to school?
Coby White just so happened to go to UNC.
Just so happened to go to UNC. Okay, I'm sure there's no correlation there.
Okay. Nah, but shout out to Coby White. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Mike's kind of second team, right?
More like third team.
Third team, okay. Yeah, 22.5 wins for your beloved Cavs over. Out there in Ohio.
Over. We're going over. We're going over. Okay, well, let me just break this down and why I think, because I really like this bet. You said 22 is the number, right?
Yes, 22.5.
Okay, so they got to go 23-49. That's pretty bad still, right, to be 23-49. But Colin Sexton actually is low-key, like, really good offensively anyway, right? Darius Garland is pretty good offensively. Andre Drummond actually, I think, is going to fit well with those two guys. And really, like, the biggest problem with them last year is they had nobody who could guard anybody on the perimeter. They could actually score pretty well. They couldn't guard anybody on the perimeter. They drafted Isaac Okoro from Auburn, who we all agreed was the best defender, perimeter defender in this draft. Now, I think it's going to be rough for him to have to go in and guard the other team's best player as a rookie. But he's good enough to do it, at least enough to make them better. So I do think they get better, and I'll take the Cavs to go over.
So, do you disagree?
Yeah, I just can't. I don't know. The Cavs are a train wreck, and I just don't see it. I think I'm not sure what their plan is going forward. I really don't like the fit of Sexton and Garland. Andre Drummond is your best player in 2021.
Sexton's rough. Their best player.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Sexton, right. Sexton was good last year. I mean, Sexton was pretty – and, yeah, I agree. I agree with everything you're saying, Tom. 9%. The Cavs do suck. They're not going to be good this year, right? I'm not arguing that they're
going to
playoff first. Now, I will say, like, I think what they're kind of modeling with Sexton and Garland is kind of like what OKC had last year. And I think a lot of teams are trying to go to this model. Charlotte's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Two guards who can kind of interchangeably handle the ball. The problem is neither one of them is a great 3-point shooter.
Neither one of them is Shea.
Or Chris Paul. Right. Yeah. So that's why they're not going to be the 5 seed. But they're going to be better.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see a way that they could get over 22.5 wins for sure. I don't think that's a ridiculous pick. I don't know that they want to win more than 22.5 games, though.
Yeah.
Because this 2021 class is really good. I don't know if you guys have watched this Cade Cunningham kid in Oklahoma State at all.
Yeah, he's great.
He's freaking good, man. That kid can play. And I think he'd be a great fit for someone like Colin Sexton. I know they have Garland, but I think, like, if you had to choose between those two, you're taking Cade Cunningham.
No question.
So, like, they might want to lose every game this year.
Well,
so they could get Cade Cunningham.
That's my case for the over, right, is that it would make sense for them to suck really bad this year, and they're Cleveland, so, of course, they're going to actually win.
Right. All right, so I'm going to take the under on that 22.5. Okay. Dallas Mavericks, a team that we talked about. Wow, 42.5 for the Mavs. Todd, since you have Luka as your MVP, you taking the over or the under on this?
100% the over. I think the Mavericks, yeah, for sure. I have Mavericks as the 4 seed. I think the Mavericks, I don't know. I'm in on them. I like the fit. I like the team. I think Luka. And like I said, Josh Richardson beside him. I know I think Seth is a big loss, but I think that they'll be able to replace it. I think that the Mavericks are honestly going to be not – I don't think they're going to be able to contend with Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets necessarily, but I think they are the top of that kind of second level.
Yeah, and I guess you have to take the over there if you have Luka as your as the MVP. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll go under here slightly just because I think that's a pretty big number. And I actually don't think that they got much better from last year. I know that they added Josh Richardson, but like I don't know. I think I might like Seth Curry more than Josh Richardson, actually. I know Josh Richardson's going to add more on defense, which kind of is what they needed. But they lose some shooting there from Seth. KP, I do not trust the health whatsoever. Yeah. Of course not. So I think that they're in that range, and I agree with Todd's statement about them being in that next tier. I don't know if I have them right at the top of that tier, though. So I'll go under. I think it's a hot bet for them to go over, too. So I'll fade everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under here, and mostly because if they go over, Steph Curry has no path to MVP. I'm going to take the under here. But no, I think the biggest point that you made there, Mike, is the health of KP. Like I just if KP's fully healthy, I think that the odds of them hitting the over here go way up. Yeah. Because you know, with them moving him to the five and what they like to do offensively, like he's the perfect fit for what they want to do at that five position where they kind of play five out and just run pick and rolls and pops with him. You know, so, but without him, it gets a little bit more difficult, especially when, you know, he can block shots at the other end. Kleba isn't quite, you know what I mean? The presence that KP is where he would slide into that five spot. Josh Richardson was an upgrade for them defensively. Seth Curry is a big loss, but they still have Tim Hardaway Jr. They still have, I believe Trey Burke is still there. I think they brought him back. So they have plenty of like bench scoring to make up for the loss of Seth. And they added, I think, enough defense. They still got Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah. I like Tyrell Terry.
Yeah. Yes, that was a good pick as well. So I'm going to take the under, and I'm not super confident about it. Like, I think 40 is right around where they land, you know, but I would not be surprised if they end up over the 42.5 mark.
And one of the things I was watching in preseason, and we're going to have to start doing some rapid fire here to get through all these teams, but one of the things I was watching in preseason and talking about Luka is like the shooting and if the shooting improved, because that was like really the biggest thing last year. It was like he's the below average. He's a below average 3-point and free throw shooter.
Yep.
Hasn't seemed to have improved yet in the preseason. Now, I don't know if that doesn't disqualify him from being the MVP. It doesn't disqualify them from being better this year. But that was something I was looking for that doesn't appear to have happened, at least not in the preseason.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Denver Nuggets, Western Conference final team last year, 44.5 on the Nuggets. We've talked about them earlier in the episode. What do you guys feel about that number?
I'll be quick. Over.
Over.
Over as well. I'm going to make a consensus. Yeah. We have the Detroit Pistons up next at 23.5. They gave them one more game than Cleveland. That's odd to me, but okay.
I would take the over there.
Really?
I just think – I don't know. I think – I like Blake. Blake is balling.
I think Blake is the – if we're talking about Detroit and Cleveland, I think Blake is the best player
for sure,
on those
right?
two teams, right?
So, yeah.
But I'll take the under. I think he's going to get hurt or something and not play. Or they're going to maybe even move him, yeah.
Right, yeah. I'm going to take the under there as well. Okay. Next up, we have the Rockets, 35.5 wins. And this one is tough. I'm going to let anyone off the hook for either of your picks here because we don't know whether James Harden's even going to be there. But I'm assuming that number is with him there. So 35.5.
Well, with him there, I think they definitely go over 35.5 because that's 35. That's below 500.
Yeah,
just under. Yeah,
I think with him, they're an above 500 team. I think even without him, they're an above 500 team. I like the Wall and Boogie thing. Sure. It's been fun to watch in preseason at least.
And the pieces they would get back, yeah.
And the pieces that they might get back, and you know who else? Watching them, I don't want to get too excited about preseason. But Christian Wood freaking balled out.
I was like
last night. I love his game, and I think he could.
I thought the Lakers should have went after him, man.
Yeah,
if I was the Lakers, I would have went after him. I'm in on Christian Wood too.
He balled last night. I'll go over.
I think I'll go over too. Yeah, they're great. I'm in on the Rockets.
Yeah, with the Rockets with James Harden, I'm taking the over, but I'm not as bullish on them as you guys are. A lot of roster turnover, new coach.
Yeah.
you know, there's a lot of changes there. That's not a great recipe of success. Without him, I definitely take the under. But assuming he stays, I'm going to take the over by a couple of games.
What do you guys think, though? I think he stays. I don't think he gets moved.
I think he stays right now. I mean,
I think he stays because I don't think the Sixers are actually going to give up Ben Simmons for him, and I don't think the Rockets will move him without it.
And I don't think the Sixers should give up
Ben Simmons. I don't think they should either. They should not. Don't do it. Daryl Morey, you did enough. Yeah. Just stop.
Especially with the price. The price was supposed to be Ben Simmons and other pieces. First. Yeah, I don't know.
Kick rocks.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd do it straight up. I mean, I think from a franchise, you kind of have to. If that presents itself, right? Like, if you know, James Harden is a top 6 or 7 or 8 player in the league, you know, depending on who you ask, you almost have to make that deal. Yeah. But if I were them, I'd hang on to Ben. And me and Todd just talked about this, but I kind of wanted to see Ben and Joel, and this maybe we should do the Sixers next, in a full season together with Doc Rivers, not Brett Brown. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the plan. That's what Elton Brand said coming into the season, that he was not going to move them. And I agree. I think it's fair to keep those two guys together under the new coach. I think it would be premature to do that. I think if we gave up Ben Simmons and other pieces and draft picks for a 32-year-old, a little bit fatter James Harden, I think I'd call collusion with Daryl Morey making that trade. He's trying to help his old franchise. You know,
he hates those guys.
Maybe he probably does. But there's no way I'd give up someone who has the ceiling of Ben Simmons for a 32-year-old James Harden who put on 10 pounds in the offseason. There's just no way.
Yeah. And you don't look like Rick Ross.
He looked like Rick Ross in the preseason so far.
Thick Ross.
No way. So per Mike's suggestion, we'll skip to the Sixers here. Over under 42.5.
I got the over, and we skipped Coach of the Year, but I got Doc for Coach of the Year.
Oh, we did. That's right.
Yeah. I like this Sixers roster a lot with these shooters. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Maybe get some shooters and not Al Horford. You know,
thank you, Daryl Morey.
Breaking news.
Thank you, Daryl Morey, and anyone with a brain. So I like what they've done. I think Doc is the right guy for Joel Embiid, right? If you need someone who's going to command a little respect and a little kick in the butt and be okay with it, I think it's coming from Doc Rivers. I think they're a top 3 seed in the East this year, maybe even top 2.
Yeah.
So I got the over, and I got Doc Rivers Coach of the Year.
Hammer the over. I agree with everything Mike said. I think that, honestly, I think Seth and Danny Green will help that a lot. I like it. Yeah, I'm in on the Sixers.
If we weren't short on time, fellas, I can't tell you what I'd be doing right now. But 42.5, I'm going to take the over as well. I'm very high on the Sixers. I didn't feel great about Daryl Morey coming in because I thought he was the Grim Reaper for Joel, but it does not seem that way. And I like what he did this offseason in surrounding these guys with a proper team of shooters and defenders. Like, Danny Green has 3 rings, and I get it, like, he was really bad in the finals, but Danny Green, I think, is one of the bigger offseason additions, and I think we'll see that this year. I think he'll play really well under Doc Rivers,
and just a culture piece too. I think they needed an influx of culture.
I agree. So next up we have the Pacers, 37.5.
I'll take the over on it. I don't know. I just think the Pacers are solid. I'm go back and forth on what Vic's going to look like, but I think that he has a. I think he knows he's trying to get that money. I don't know. I think over. I think the over is safe. And Sabonis is a dog.
I like the over. Sabonis is a dog. And really, when we start talking about the Pacers, he should be the first guy we talk about.
Yeah.
But Vic is. You know, he's got 15 points in 17 minutes at halftime right now. So I think he looks okay. Also, Brogdon, full season of Brogdon for them, hopefully. Yeah. I think that's a big piece for them. Mm-hmm. I'll go over. Holiday Brothers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well on the Pacers. They're still solid. Los Angeles Clippers, 47.5 this year.
I gave my pick, and that's a big number, first of all. You know, look at last year, like, they have to be just about as good in the regular season. And I think they will be maybe even a little better. So I'll go over there.
I'll take the over two. I'm on record in some group chats and on Twitter mentioning I think Surge is a huge pickup. I like Surge over Trez, and I think the Clippers did too. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I do. I think they get the over.
Okay. So I'm going to make it a consensus and take the over. I thought Surge was a big signing for them as well. The other team in LA, 48.5 for the Lakers.
72-0.
All right. So Todd's taking the over, I guess.
48.5. So they have to win 49. So they have to go 49-23. That's a lot of wins for a team that I don't think their best player is going to play every game. You know, he's probably going to miss at least 10 of the 72. Todd, is that a safe number to say?
For sure. I'd say that's low, yeah.
That's low, right? So I think I'll go under for the Lakers. I do think that they're going to be in – you know, we'll talk about that later, but I think they're going to be just as good in a playoff standpoint. But regular season, they might take a step back.
So you have the Clippers as the one seed in the West then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just real quick. I just like the pairing of Trez. I think Trez and Lou Will was awesome, right? Trez and Schroeder. I think that can more than make up, not more, but you know what I mean. I think that can make up for LeBron being out. I think AD is going to still play a lot of games. I think that I don't know. I love that team. I think as I mentioned earlier, THT. We'll see. I think they got some young pieces. I think the Trez and Schroeder, they can go. I think they'll be all right. I still think that over.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to take the over on the Lakers as well. I think they win 50 games this year. Coming off their title. Memphis Grizzlies, young up-and-comers, almost made the playoffs last year. Their number is 31.5.
That feels low to me.
That does feel low to me as well. I'm going to take the over.
31.5. I love the Grizz. Honestly, I do. I love that roster, but I got to take the under there. West.
It is.
They had a great year last year.
They're going to be worse than last year, then, is what you're saying.
I just think that the West is better. I don't know. I got to take the under there.
Well, I think they're still.
The Pellies will be better.
For me, I think they're still in that same group of teams, right, Grizz? But I think that the Spurs get a lot worse. And we'll talk about the Spurs. So maybe they drop and the Grizz pick up a couple. If they go. They went 34-39 last year in 73 games. Mm-hmm. So that's close. I feel like I should be taking the under, just from my normal perspective of everyone's thinking they're going to be better, so they're probably going to be a little bit worse. But I just like Ja and Triple J too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to take I took the over on that as well. Miami Heat, NBA final runner ups. 43.5 for the Heat.
Over. For the Heat. Give me Jimmy buckets all day, baby.
I go over, I guess. Yeah, I guess I go over. I mean, I think they're going to be just as good this year, maybe better, with Tyler Hero possibly taking a step and maybe even Bam takes another step. So I guess I have to go over.
Agreed. I'm going to take the over on the Heat as well.
Although they might be a team who goes – Well, we made the finals last year as a 5 seed, so maybe we don't care that much about the regular season. And they're on short rest, much like the Lakers. They were playing the same amount of games as them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's true. Milwaukee Bucks, defending number one seed in the East, 2-time MVP Giannis, 50.5.
That's a lot of games. I think I'm going to go over. They are a regular season machine. I also switched my pick. On the Heat to the under, based on what I said. Also, I'll go Bucks. I'll go over, like, 50-22 is really – that's really impressive, right? Like, we only saw a couple teams do that last year. But they're a regular season machine. Giannis is a regular season machine. You add in Drew Holiday to that.
Yeah.
I think they're just as good in the regular season probably.
Enough said. Yep. They're over. They're going to kill in the regular season and lose in the second round.
Yep.
I'm going to take the under because I think they win 50 exactly.
Okay.
So I'm going to just barely. T-Wolves, 29.5. Number one pick, Anthony Edwards and D-Lo and Cat. 29.5 wins for the T-Wolves.
Under, way under. What am I missing?
I'm not sure. Somebody's really high on Anthony Edwards maybe.
Well, they won 19 last year.
does he give them 10 more? Oh, Malik Beasley also was an addition in the offseason.
I'm sorry, what's his status? Is he not the gun charges, whatever? Is he not? I don't know if he's going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah. I think they might have gotten dropped. I don't know. We should probably ask Marcia.
I think the bet is under.
Good IT on it.
I think the bet is under her.
Okay. That's a lot of wins for this team, and I don't see it. Cat and D'Lo, it's not meshing. I don't know what Anthony Edwards gives him. He hasn't looked great in preseason. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. Larsa Pippen's taking the over, though.
yes, she is.
Who we got next here? New Orleans Pelicans. You said they were going to be better, Todd. Their number's 34.5. Over or under?
I think it's close, but over. Yeah.
Mike, you're green, taking over.
No, I'm going under. I'm not sold on the Brandon Ingram Zion click yet.
With Steven Adams.
With Steven Adams. It's like kind of a weird.
Super weird.
Weird mesh of guys there. And I don't know who's playing. You know, Drew's out of there as well. So
right.
I don't see it yet anyway.
Yeah. That's a strong front court. Like literally strong.
Yes.
Strong.
I'm going to take the over because I do think they can win 35, 36 games, like hover right around 500 and compete for the eighth seed there. So I'm going to take the over, but barely. Like I think this is a really good number. I think they're barely in that over.
And I think the Stan Van, I mean, it's Stan Van's fine. I think Stan Van is good, but I think the Alvin Gentry getting out of there, I think is the biggest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus, you can get.
Very true.
I wanted Alvin Gentry to be a better coach so bad.
Same. Yeah.
Because he's a good guy. New York Knicks, 21.5. Is Obi Toppin good enough to get them over 21.5, Mike?
Well, I'm going to say over. So, 21. So they got to go 22-50. They were 21-45 last year, and I think they're a little bit better. So I'll go over. They're a fun team to fade for the public. So
facts, and I think they're going to be. I don't know. Obi is going to be fun, but I'm still taking the. I'm taking take the under here.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the under just because that seems to be something you do when talking about the Knicks.
Yes.
OKC. In rebuild mode, 21.5. I don't know that they want to win 21.5 games with all the picks they just traded for. Well, really, I guess they don't want other teams to hit these over numbers. But 21.5 for the Thunder. What you got, Todd?
I got under here. I agree. I just think it's going to be tough. I think they had a great year last year, and I just think a lot of those guys without Chris Paul, they're going to come crashing down to earth. We'll see if Shea can really shoulder a big load here. They lost a lot of guys. I got to take the under here.
I'm going over because that number is too low. And they are obviously not going to be what they were last year. Not even close. Now, are they going to be 23 games worse than they were last year? I don't think so. I think Shea is really good. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Al Horford, now he might not be there the whole year, but we also said that about Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. I think he actually has a little bit of a come back to life moment. He was a terrible fit in Philly. I think if you get him back playing where he should be as a center and you pair him with Shea, I actually don't hate them as like a long shot make the playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Long shot. Like if you get like plus 800 for him to make a
value.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to take the under. You know, I like SGA, but I don't know that he's a go-to guy. You know what I mean? Where he's like, I don't know that he's going to have this huge season just because they're awful. Yeah. I think he's someone who's really good at playing off of other people or off of other stars. So I'm going to take the under mostly because I don't think they want to win more than that many games.
And I'm just looking at the West. I mean, I don't know.
And the West is so tough. It's going to be brutal.
Suns going to be better, yeah.
Yeah. In the East, I'd probably take the over. But for sure. In the West, they're going to have such a tough schedule. Orlando Magic took my guy Cole Anthony in the first round. 30.5 wins for the Orlando Magic. So borderline playoffs.
I'm going over. And Cole Anthony, he's looked pretty well in the preseason. And I'm not just saying that because he's a North Carolina guy. Like you're about to say that. he actually has looked pretty good. And Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
A little bit of career resurgence. Aaron Gordon, you know, he's the guy if we're talking about guys who can lead teams to 33 wins. He's that guy. I know Todd's boys on that team too. So they got some guys.
I was going to say, bro, you talk, no, the first name you got to mention here is my man, Nikola Vucevic. he is a dog. And yeah. I just think that, yeah, I think that I take the over here too. I just, the Magic are this weird, fun team. The problem is, the Isaac, the Jonathan Isaac thing is just so, it's sad. That team with Isaac would be, I'd be really high on this team with Isaac, but yeah. not too high, but I don't know. I'm still taking the over. I think Vooch and Gordon, I do think Cole Anthony can give them something, but they're fun. I don't know. I like that team a little bit, and I think they'll hit that over.
Their biggest problem is they give 30 minutes a game to Evan Fournier, and sometimes he scores 24, and sometimes he scores 2 and goes 0-18. Like, fair. Just take all his minutes and give them to Terrence Ross.
Yeah.
It'll work out for you guys.
Yeah.
Cut his minutes in half.
Right.
But yeah, I'm taking the over on the Magic as well, simply because Cole Anthony's a dog. Phoenix Suns, 37.5 with the addition of Chris Paul.
I'll take the over here. I don't know. This is hard for me, but I'm going to take the over here. I do think that that fit with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I like Devin Booker on ball, but I like him more just a little, less on ball responsibilities. Let him be a fucking scorer. And then, so I'll take the over here.
I'm going to go slightly under. And I don't really have a good reason why, other than the West is tough.
Yeah.
And
a lot of hype.
So they ended the regular season last year winning 8 in a row in the bubble, right? If they don't do that, they're pretty bad. They have a pretty bad record. If they only win half of those games, they finish like 8 games under 500. So actually more than that, they finish like 12 games under 500. So I don't know how much of a leap they get from Chris Paul. Unless some of these other guys get, if Aiden is the most improved player, like you say, maybe they do.
And that's a big question. The Chris Paul thing to me is an interesting storyline of just like, great. He went on a crazy diet. Can he keep up what he did last year? He's just old. We'll see.
Yeah. It's a vegan diet. It's not crazy.
All right, whatever. I couldn't remember. I thought it was something. All right, whatever.
You're going to have the vegan community canceled.
I know, right? The pot is canceled. You're
talking crazy.
Here. You can tell I'm not vegan.
I'm going to take the over on the 37.5, just barely. I think they win like 39, possibly 40. I really like Chris Paul. Yeah, I like Mikal Bridges a lot, too, and his playing time is going to go up with no Kelly Oubre. I love the fit there. So,
Cam Johnson.
I also really love their new black uniforms. I think that's an extra 3 to 4 wins right there. So, over on the 37.5 for the Suns. 39.5 for Dame Dalla and CJ out in Portland. That's under, right?
That's tough because, last year they only won 35. But Nurkic didn't play and Collins didn't play.
Yeah.
39.5, they got to win 40. I think they win 40.
Okay, so they're probably top 6 then in the West here.
I think they are.
Hilarious. No, 40. I think the Jazz. Yeah. Oh, the Jazz.
They jumped the Jazz. They jumped the Thunder. They jumped the Rockets. Maybe they're in there and they're right there. This is a team that was in the Western Conference Finals the year before last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
No, I'm taking the over here too. I think I'm with Mikey where it's like, I really love that 40 number and the 39.5 is like, that's going to be cutting it close. But the Nurkic thing, Nurkic and Dame really do have that going. McCollum, they got, and also biggest move of the offseason, getting rid of Hazonia, right? Hazonia will no longer
get minutes. And Whiteside.
So that's like, that could be 30.
They got way better.
Yeah, they got way better.
Where did Whiteside go?
Whiteside is I just saw him playing last night for
Sacramento? No, who
Sacramento,
was it?
Yeah.
Was it Sacramento?
Yeah.
Going back
and
home.
Gary Trent. And they brought in Cantor, who I think he's a slightly better version of Whiteside.
Fair.
Yeah. But
we'll see.
I guess. Yeah.
But I do think over. I think Dame, it's hard because there's a lot of hype. I could see the fall off here. I think this is the team that I'm most scared on, maybe. I think that this is the team that could have the biggest drop, whatever it is. I'm scared, but I also think that if things go right for them, Dame, CJ, and Nurk, I think that's a tough lineup, and I like what they did in the off season. And yeah, I'll take the over here.
Is no one going to say a word about Melo? I'm going to talk about Melo. Okay.
Why?
I'm taking the under because Melo's in their starting lineup. Doug and James are going to kill me after I watch this episode.
No, Melo.
If you have Melo in your starting lineup, you're not winning 40 games.
Oh, you disrespected Melo. You said he sucks when he sucks. Oh, how disrespectful.
Yeah, he's not even.
Lakers should have got him.
Melo is Melo now.
He's going to be that player for the next 7 years, right? Like, he'll just be this guy.
He could, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to take the under. I'm not. It's just who plays defense for them is my thing, like at all, other than Nurkic. Nurkic can't block
everything. Covington. They brought Covington.
Oh, they did bring Covington. Yeah, that was a good signing. Okay, so they got one guy that's going to play defense, he's going to do a lot of dumb things as well. So
yes, he will. Trust me, not shoot nearly as well as everybody thinks. Yeah,
right. Trust me, I would know. So, Kings 27.5. Whiteside getting them over, Mike.
You know I love Whiteside. 27.5 is a pretty low number. I'm going to go over because I am high on Marvin Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
I think he takes a step. D-Fox. And one of my favorite rookies, who we didn't mention at all, is Halliburton. I think everybody loves Halliburton. Yeah, he can't really shoot.
How that works.
Yeah, his shooting thing is weird, but he's a really good athlete and really good vision. Kind of like a more in control LaMelo Ball in some ways. So I'll go over.
This is a really close one for me. I'm going to take the under here. I just think that the Bogdan, I think he was huge for them. Honestly, I think he was huge for them. And so that's just tough for me. I do. So here's the thing, if Bagley's healthy, that's an interesting team at least, but do I trust he's going to be healthy? I just don't know that I can. And then, let alone, it's the Kings. So I got to take the under here.
Yeah. I'm going to take the under because, like Todd said, it's the Kings. They're dysfunctional.
Yes.
Who knows what's going to happen with Buddy Hield?
That's what I was going to say, too. Yeah.
So that situation needs to be settled. So I'm going to take the under, but I think that's a really good number. I wouldn't surprise if they go.
It is a good number.
That's why I would not bet.
Yeah. Same. This is one that I would avoid at all costs. Spurs 29.5. Do we think the Spurs are going to be better than the Kings?
Nope, I don't. I think they're going to be under that number, and I think DeMar DeRozan might not be there much longer. Mm. I think they're a team that's actually going to maybe struggle a little bit this year. Now, I will say, of all of the first round draft picks and where people got them, I might like theirs the best. Devin Vassell.
Yeah.
We remember from our mock draft, we were all, me, you, and Taylor were all super high on Vassell. And I like the fit of him going to the Spurs as well. But I think that they're a team that's starting rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go under, sadly.
See, that's tough for me. The DeRozan thing is a great point, but do they start the rebuild with Pop still there? I'm not sure. Again, this is weird. I'm going to take the over here, but I liked it because I'm in on DeJounte. I think that, I like him. That team is still tough. They're gritty. I don't know. I just can't see them going under this with Pop right now. And, whatever. They're the Spurs, so maybe this is a bad pick, but I'm going to take the over here.
Now, I like DeJounte a lot, and I like Vassell a lot. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be in on Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
I like Lonnie Walker. That's my guy.
He played 27 minutes last night. I won't tell you. You want to know his stat line?
Okay.
He played 29 minutes last night. He had 1 point and 2 assists.
That's Lonnie.
That's rough.
I'm out on Lonnie.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going under. They trade DeRozan, and the Lonnie Walker era begins in San Antonio this year around the trade deadline. He explodes once they get DeMar out of his way.
What do we think the market is on DeMar? I like DeMar, but like, what do you think? I don't know.
First of all, DeMar is one of the best players to put them over the edge. NBA. Denver. I'd like to see him in Denver.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd actually like that. Yeah.
I'd like to see them take a chance. That'd or like, even like Phoenix. Like, if they want one more piece to try to push them over the edge, and maybe they don't trust Bridges yet. You know, maybe he's like, I love Denver. DeMar. Listen, I'm biased. I mean, DeMar has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, but DeMar, I say it, the less I like it. I'm a big fan of DeMar DeRozan.
The more I say it, the less I like it.
I miss drinking Will Ferrell. Yeah. Classic there. Let's move on. Since we just talked about DeMar DeRozan, it's so fitting to transition into Mike's Raptors, 42 and a half. First of all, you guys lost Ibaka and Marc Gasol and then paid Fred VanVleet $80 million. So I just wanted to remind you on how your offseason went. 42 and a half for the Raptors. What do you think?
That's a good
deal. Should I post the text? I wish I had the text lit up.
You got him over, Mike?
42 and a half?
Yeah.
All right, Raptors, 42 and a half. I'm going to go over here. Kyle Lowry is a winner's winner, okay? He is a dog. He will lead these guys to at least 43 wins. And the Fred VanVleet signing, when it happened, we had maybe thought they had overpaid a little bit. But then the Gordon Hayward signing happened. And we realized that that was a steal. Steal of the century, really, in comparison to Gordon's deal. So, I just think Nick Nurse is going to have these guys, ready to win out. They're going to have to replace Mark and Serge. And Siakam's going to have to drastically change something from the playoffs. But I think he can do that. So I'll go over.
But you know, I know. I got to take the under here just because, well, first of all, the East got better, right? So we got Nets, Heat. I think the Sixers are better. So I think that's going to be tough to kind of get them up there. And honestly, I love Lowry. I haven't been as big on Lowry as you have. I love Lowry, but
you hate Lowry.
But the loss of Mark and Serge, especially Mark, I think they ran some offense through Mark. You know, Mark is really invaluable in some of the things he does, even though in this late stage of his career. But I like Baines. Honestly, I really like Baines and his fit, but he's not going to be able to provide the same things, Mark and Serge were going to be able to. I love OG. It's still a very interesting roster, but I just think that maybe we've kind of hit the point with the Raptors. I don't know that they can exceed our expectations anymore, and maybe this is the year they kind of fall behind the 76ers and Nets. I have them over them, I'd say, so I'm going to take the under here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well, mostly to piss off Mike. Yeah. But
I took the over for your 6 years.
Yeah, but now in all seriousness, I think the Serge and Gasol loss are going to be a bit much for them to overcome. And I think the book is kind of out on how to slow down Siakam. So I think there's a possibility of regression there that worries me. So I'm going to take the under, but I'd still book them for 37 to 41. So I'm not really far under on them at all.
No, I think they definitely are not going to be the same team, right? It would be impossible for them to be the same team without Mark and Serge. And I think that shows up more in the playoffs, though. So
for sure.
So
definitely.
When we start talking playoffs.
What's Lanky dude? I can't remember his name. What's the super Lanky?
Chris Boucher.
Yes. I do another name.
I like Boucher.
Yeah.
And I like some of the guys they have, Terrence Davis and
But it's just not that same offensive. Mark really, he's incredible.
He's a stabilizer.
Right.
Yes.
Defense too was. Him and Serge both were. So I don't know how they replicate that, but I think in the regular season they can do an okay job piecing it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The playoffs is where it shows up more.
For sure.
Agreed. All right. The Utah Jazz have an over under of 41 and a half. How we feel about Utah?
So I'm going to take the over here. I'm not high on the Jazz, but I think 41 is still kind of a low number. So I'll take the over here. But like I said, I'm not super high on the Jazz. I love Donovan Mitchell, but just honestly, the Gobert, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I love Gobert. I hate Gobert. I'm going to take the over here slightly.
I hate Gobert. I'll tell you, I hate Gobert. I'll take the over here and, Donovan Mitchell really showed us something in the playoffs. Is that going to be a replicable thing where now he's, wants to be a top 15 or pushing top 10 player in the league? Probably not that high. But he is apparently really good, and they're going to run a lot of things through him this year, more so than ever. Maybe Mike Conley starts to fit in. That was kind of a disaster last year, all year, until really the playoffs. It seemed like in the playoffs maybe he started to fit a little bit better.
Yeah,
maybe it fits a little bit better this year, but they give so many minutes to Royce O'Neal, who's terrible at basketball.
Yeah, And did they get better? They did. Like, how did they get? They didn't make any. Like, they didn't get better, right?
No, they did not get better. Relationship count. No, they didn't get better. They didn't get better.
Yeah, and for that reason, I'm going to take the under. Simply because I think other Western Conference teams got better, and they didn't. I like Donovan Mitchell, but I think he's like a first round NBA playoff performer, and you know what I mean? I think he's or a guy that puts up big numbers and losses. So,
quick sidebar. I'm sorry. The Murray and Mitchell. I think that playoff was amazing, right? It was a crazy playoff series, but I'm on the side that leaves us to overrating them a lot more than we should, right? Like bubble. Me and Mike were talking about the bubble stuff, but I just think that like maybe they aren't quite what we think they are just because of that series.
And Todd, we talked about this the other day with the no crowd.
Thing. Yeah,
like that is going to benefit these younger guys so much. And I made the comparison to the MLB playoffs when the younger pitchers were just running through the league in the playoffs. And you're thinking normally these guys struggle big time because of the crowds. It was kind of the same thing in the NBA playoffs, and then it kind of end up Lakers won. So we get these fans though?
That'll be the question. Playoff time?
We might. Yeah. By playoff time, I hope so.
Yeah. I hope too, but I wouldn't necessarily put money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the under there. Washington Wizards round out our 30 NBA teams at 33.5. Russ, get them over 33.5, guys.
33? Whew. I like the Wizards, but I'll take the under here. That's a lot of wins, I feel.
Why? Why? Because you know Brad Beal's not that good?
No, Brad Beal is legit. Brad Beal's the best player on that team by far, but I don't like Rui. I don't really like, I don't know, like some of these guys, like Thomas Bryant is like the case to me where it's like, oh, potential, you know, he has this, he can do these, all these things, and then he sucks. Like he really can't do the, like, and that's to me, I like the Wizards. I like them at like 30, 31, 33, just, you know, that number is too high for me.
I'm going to take the over. And I think Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are good regular season players and can do good regular season things. Russell Westbrook was third team all NBA. And I don't like Brad Beal that much, not because I think he's bad. I think he's good. But I think that him bitching and moaning about not being all NBA when his team was one of the worst in the league and he played zero defense last year, which I know, you know, who cares about playing defense at all? But, you know, he was one of the worst defensive players in the league last year. He used all his energy on offense, had one of the highest usage rates. Of course, he averaged.
He was one of the worst. I don't know.
He was one of the worst defenders.
He was one of the worst defenders on the worst defensive team in the NBA, though. So I just think.
Right? That, like, how bad is he? He's one of the worst defenders.
But when you got four dudes around you that can't guard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play defensive.
He had no case for all.
The only time they won was when they had, like, the highest offensive rating in the league for, like, a month period. And then, like, I don't know. It's tough. Give me Brad Beal. You put Brad Beal on any team with a chance, Brad Beal is a dog.
Yeah, he could be a good, like, third best player on a team that makes.
He's the second best player on a championship team.
No. He was the second best player on. Whatever. We're not going to argue about
that. What about Wall? Okay, but what about. You're right, but Wall and him had a chance at the conference finals.
A chance to make the conference finals.
Okay. All right. You're right.
So he's not the second best player on a championship team. So
John Wall isn't the first best player.
Anyway, I'm the one arguing for the over here. You put it on. So, anyway. So
you're right.
You picked the under. I'm taking the over. I think Denny's better than we gave him credit for, too. I watched a couple of preseason games of theirs, and I actually kind of liked Denny, and I like Kitchmore.
Yeah.
Same. I'm going to take the over here as well, just slightly. I think they win like 35 to 37. They hover right around 500 and make the playoffs. I think you can pretty much book that for any team that Russell Westbrook is on alone. Let alone, you know, Brad Beal. I like Brad Beal more than Mike does. But I'm not one of those people who thought he should have been all NBA or all star. So I agree with you there.
Well, that's me. That's my entire point. I like him a lot too. He just shouldn't have had he didn't have a case for it either.
Last year. Right. Yeah. And you know, there's some other arguments that I've gotten into about Brad Beal. That's why I think it's so funny is because, he's a hot topic, man, because of the numbers he just put up last year and how they compare him to other guys like Klay Thompson and other players at his position. It gets a little murky. But you know,
I'll say this, though. I don't think that Russ necessarily deserved that all NBA team.
I think that's a valid argument.
No, I wouldn't have, when we did our votes as All In Network, I don't think we had him on there. I'm not sure anybody even voted for him to be on there.
No, I don't think so.
But his second half of the season was pretty ridiculously good.
Yeah. Russ is a big question mark for me in the sense that Russ and Brad, I just think that it's a different fit. Russ is another year older, short condensed season. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. The protons, though.
We should do a short episode of Brad Beal versus.
I would sign me up. I would come with a binder.
Just let you two argue about Brad Beal for 15 minutes.
There you go.
Sound like a deal? We'll look after next week. See what we can do for next week. Let's close out today's show with our NBA Finals prediction. So give me the two teams you think are going to make it and your way too early NBA champion pick. Todd, as our guest.
Oh. Okay. No, that's fine. No, I'd love this. So I was going to drop the hammer. I think you'll love this, Coop. I got the Lakers versus the 76ers.
Let's freaking go.
I love the 76ers. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm a fool, maybe, like all 76ers fans, but they got more shooting. I love Morey. Give me Doc for the first, you know, 1 year or two. I think they can make it. I don't trust the Bucks still. I love, you know, I'm a Heat guy, obviously, but this could be the year that they unlock Ben and Joe. Ben and Joel have good numbers together, you know, and they got more shooting. I got to believe it. I don't know. I believe it might work.
Todd, you're the smartest guy on this podcast.
There you go.
Hey, I picked him as coach of the year in Tuesday. So, yeah, and I'll just say Fred VanVleet is definitely better than Brad Beal. Anyway, so I'll take the Lakers out of the West. I think that's, you know, it's tough to play against them.
That's a lot.
I don't think anybody can play against them right now. And I love the Clippers this year. I love Kawhi this year. But LeBron and AD is just so much better than anybody and anybody, even when that first guy is Kawhi Leonard. You know, if he's a wash with LeBron, which we've learned he's probably not that high, Paul George does not come close to AD. So Eastern Conference is kind of a pick 'em, right? There really is no – I wouldn't even say there's really a favorite. Maybe the Bucks are the quote-unquote favorite because of what we know they're going to do in the regular season. And they do have the best player in the East. We still have to say Giannis is the best player in the East. I'm torn on this one. I think I'm going to go with the – I think I'm going to go with the Celtics. And I hate the Celtics. Oh, God, I hate the Celtics. They're probably my least favorite team in the NBA. But I think getting Gordon Hayward out of there is actually a huge boost for them.
With all the pieces they replaced him with, yes.
With the pieces they replaced him with. And they added Tristan Thompson, which is like really the missing piece that they had, right? When we watched them against the Heat, it was like they don't have a center. Yeah. Right? Even if you're just playing like it's a toss-up, right? So let's look at like the matchup game, which is kind of exactly how it went in the Eastern Conference playoffs last year, right? Celtics were a good matchup. The Raptors – they had bad matchups against the Celtics, right? They couldn't play that style. But the Heat had great matchups against the Celtics and the Bucks. And I think the Raptors actually had better matchups against the Heat than the Celtics did. So that's kind of how it goes sometimes in the playoffs. But I think adding Tristan Thompson plugs a hole that was bigger than most holes in the Eastern Conference on a really good team. Tatum takes a step. You know, if we're talking about guys you want in the playoffs, I've been saying this for years. I want the bucket getter. I want the guy who's going to go get the bucket.
Shout out Peyton Pritchard.
If you look at the Eastern Conference, there's really only two guys I would even put in that category, and that's Tatum and Jimmy Butler. And I think Tatum takes a step this year and becomes that guy. So I got Lakers and Celtics. Lakers win.
Ooh, I disagree, Mike. I think there's four guys in the East fully healthy.
Yeah, if you include those guys, yeah. If we're thinking they're going to be there.
Kyrie and KD.
Yeah.
So, because we're –
I don't think they're going to be there.
Yeah, that's the biggest question mark. But here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to put the Nets in my NBA Finals. And that is based off of the assumption that both guys are fully healthy in the playoffs. And the main reason is they scared the crap out of me, man. Yeah. That KD and Kyrie scare me in the playoffs because those are two guys who can get any shot they want at any moment that they want. They have enough spacing. They have the right role players, in my opinion.
They've got
two good pick and roll centers in Jerry Allen and DeAndre Jordan. Taurean Prince, I really like him at the four. Yeah. Dinwiddie off the bench, Caris LeVert, Landry Shamet. Like they have a unit, man. They have the right guys around them.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about them is health. Like, is Kevin Durant still Kevin Durant? So assuming that he is, right, which was the second best player in the world before he blew his Achilles, I think. Certainly
possibly first.
Yeah. He felt like he was the first. You know, he was top three, bare minimum. If he's that same guy, along with a healthy Kyrie Irving, that's, like you said, a tough out in the playoffs. And I don't know anyone else that has two guys who can just get you a bucket like that while still being, you know, still having those other pieces that they need in order to win in the playoffs. So assuming health, I'm going to go Nets and Lakers. I like the Serge Ibaka signing for the Clippers, but a pandemic P seems more likely to show up in the playoffs than playoff P.
Yeah.
At this phase of his career. So that, and I think that's the biggest factor on them getting to the finals is how well he plays in the postseason. So I'm still going with the Lakers. And I'm going to take the Lakers to beat the Nets. And LeBron kind of kills the KD being better than him narrative once and for all.
Yeah, see, but I do think, like, if we're going to say the Nets are good enough to make the finals, then they might win the finals. Right, like
they
might match up that well. But I'll also say, you know, I'm not surprised with you taking the Nets, being that you have a very special connection to that team with, you know, Kyrie Irving, obviously cooking your mans in the finals, and then also KD carrying your mans to two chips. I can see how you would take them and think that they're going to win. That makes a lot of sense. Now that you say that loud.
You know what? This is because I took the under on the Raptors, right?
Yes, it's a mic drop.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is.
We'll see the cohesion. I love the net. The cohesion, just I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. And to me, a lot of times, because it's really just those two, like, you know, I think if Kyrie kind of plays the role that he did with LeBron, I think they'll make it work. And I think Steve Nash will be a big benefit for Kyrie.
Did you hear the pod where he wants 7 post-ups a game? Kyrie said he wants 7 post-ups a game. It was an Instagram live with KD. Well,
can I change my pick?
This man is crazy.
I'm going to change my pick. Because if Steve Nash has drawn up 7 post touches for Kyrie, then I'm not in on that.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at
post, though. Don't get me wrong, but 7?
He was posting on Clay.
I give you 3. I give you 3 post touches at max.
KD's response, we'll see. I don't know.
In his head, that's a hell no.
Yeah.
There, but all right. So those are our predictions for every award, over unders for the NBA this year. Thank you guys for tuning into a long episode of the All In podcast. Thank you guys for sticking with us. If you're listening on the audio platform, don't forget to leave a like or a rating. Leave a review. Make sure you subscribe on whatever platform it is that you tune in on. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you know when we go live or when new videos post. So make sure you guys hit that subscribe and turn on those notifications. And last but not least, just a couple days left to get 40% off at our online store on Teespring. 40% off if you use the promo code ALLIN with all caps. You can get a ton of merchandise there, from hoodies, blankets, mugs, phone cases, whatever you can think of that we've got at the store. So 40% off, doesn't get better than that at our Teespring store. Mike, any last words before we sign off today?
Yeah, also make sure you go to allinnetwork.net. Check out all the articles that are being posted. That's kind of the spot for all of podcasts, All In Network stuff. Yes. Also, download the app and start using the All In Network app to follow us, not only on Twitter. That's how I follow us on Twitter, because I'm not on actual Twitter anymore. but also see other stuff that's going on with the network. Also, big thanks to our guy, Toadman. We appreciate you, bro.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure. Happy holidays to everybody listening, and it was great to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us again. Make sure you guys follow Todd on Twitter at ToadmanJr44 for his awful NBA takes.
about fantasy advice.
About Brad Beal. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Yeah. See you guys again next week.